Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, the 19th of August, 1999. We are in the fireside room of Koinonia this evening. We are about to hear readings from a play by Robert Anderson entitled I Never Sang for My Father, directed by Bob Larson. Let's listen in.
We are going to do what's simply called stage reading, which is not simple, but it means that we are not memorizing lines, and we'll have a script in hand when we're working on this. And I first want to just say thanks to David, who's helped us put a few lights on. We're going to turn those up a little bit and turn these off so that we just have this sort of acting area defined. And a real special thanks, of course, to the two of the three actors tonight, Catherine and Russ. We've only worked on this a few days. I rolled into Holden last week and sort of asked around if there were some interested people in theater, and these two stepped forward pretty boldly. And so we talked about doing something for this week, and we found this piece that I brought, and so that's where our focus is. And we've had a delightful time working with these two talented young people. Robert Anderson's play, I Never Sang for My Father, was written in the late 1960s. And it garnered quite a success in both professional life as well as in a lot of community theaters and college and university theaters across the country. The play, I will provide you a very, very brief synopsis because you'll need to know some information before you see our scenes. Our scenes tonight are about 30 minutes long. That's the length of it. So you can see we've sort of compressed things and put them together. We're going to be looking at the second act of the play. And this is really a play that deals with the relationship between a father and a son, and also a daughter as well as a relationship to a long-standing marriage. What happens in this play is that you meet Tom and Martha Garrison, the couple who have been together a long time, and they have two children, Alice and Jean. And in this conversation, and the first part of the play, the first act, is when we discover something about their relationship. And it's clear that that Margaret, the wife, is a very supportive and affirming and kind woman. Remember now, this play was written in the 1960s too, so there are other elements in operation. Tom Garrison, on the other hand, is a man of very strong will, strong opinion, dominating in lots of ways. We discover some just little hints of why that might be as the play unfolds. And you won't see some of those hints. That's one of the unfortunate things about that. You'll see sort of the result of his anger in a way, and his own somewhat fractured relationship with his father when he was growing up, a self-made man. And that's who Tom Garrison is in this. And what happens in the first act is that we see the relationship between Gene, the son, and the father, which is a little bit cool, and the mother, which is very warm. Gene's first wife, Carol, has died just a year before, and now he wants to move from the family home in the East out to California to be with a new person that he has found in his life called Peggy. And there's a sense that Tom Garrison does not want his son to leave, even though he's saying it's his mother that wants him to stay. And we hear before the mother dies at the end of Act One, it's very clear that she's given her blessing to Jean to start a new life, to leave, to go out, and to start a new life. So we're going to pick up the scene. Those are the characters that the central characters. The mother who dies at the end of Act One. They've had a long relationship, Tom and his wife, and then Jean has been around the family a long time. Alice has been disenfranchised from her father because she married a Jew, and her father, in essence, said, then you're out of the house. And she moved to California with her family. So she's coming back. So what's happening now in the four quick scenes that we're going to see in Act Two, it's soon after the burial of the mother. And we're going to see a first meeting of Jean and Alice in a lounge in the town. Alice has just flown in for the funeral. Then we're going to see a brief scene at the cemetery where they have just buried the mother. Then we're going to have a brief scene in the sitting room of the father's house or conversation. And then the final scene is in the bedroom between the father and son. We have nothing but two chairs. We mime a few things. and we are reading it in the script. So hopefully the power of your own imagination can play with us and pull with us as we go through this as well. I think that's all you need to know at this point in time. And afterwards, as I say, it's 30 minutes long, and afterwards, those of you who would like to stay for a few minutes, if it's generated some conversation, that would be terrific, and we can just sit and perhaps have some dialogue about some of the issues that the play may or may not raise. And one final comment. Remember, this is a theater piece. This is not real life. This is a theater piece, and so it dramatizes things. It cuts and slashes and focuses things a little bit, and that's what art does. It makes us see things a little differently, but it also is not reality, and that's a very important thing to keep in mind when we engage a work of art like this. So, four scenes from I Never Sang from My Father.
Shouldn't we be getting home to Dad?
I suppose so, but I'm not ready to go home yet. Let's sit over here where we can get away from the noise like a bar.
You've had quite a day.
I'm sorry for blowing off. But damn it, Alice, our mother died this morning. I've wanted to talk about her. But she hasn't been mentioned except for my inspiration, which is his cue to start the story of his life.
I'm sorry you've had to take it all alone.
Well, I'm glad as hell you're here. I'm glad of the chance to get out of the house to come meet you. So tired of hearing when the clouds hung low and dark. I'm so tired of people coming up to me and saying, your dad's a remarkable man. Nobody talks about Mother. Just, he's a remarkable man. Christ, you think he died? I wanted to say, my mother was a remarkable woman. You don't know my father. You only know the man in the newspapers. He's a selfish bastard who's lived on that life, on the edge of life of exasperation, and you don't even know the bite of the sarcasm. The night he banished my sister for marrying a Jew did not get into the newspapers. What a night that was. Mother running from the room sobbing, you shouting at him and storming out, and the two of us, father and son, left to finish dinner in silence. Afterwards, I threw up.
I shouted and you threw up. That was pretty much the fact.
I know I'm being unfair, but I'm in the mood to be unfair. I wanted to say to him all day, for Christ's sakes, will you shut up about your miserable childhood and say something about Mother? But I can't. He's an old man and my father. His wife has died. And may be experiencing something somewhere I know nothing about. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No. Mother loved your flowers.
I felt guilty about Mother. All the way coming here. I should have seen her more, invited her more often, brought the kids more often. Instead, I sent flowers.
I guess that's an inevitable feeling when a person dies. I feel the same way.
But you were so good to her.
Yes.
You made her life.
My son's not supposed to make his mother's life. Oh, I loved Mother, you know that. But to be depended on? Make her life? Dad says, he boasts. He never knew the meaning of the word quit. Well, he quit on her, all right. I was just there. Still, wait till you see him. Something that comes through, the old tiger. Something that reaches you. Makes you want to cry. He'll probably be asleep in front of the television, and you'll see the old man, the father. But then he wakes up and becomes Tom Garrison. and I'm in trouble. Last night he wanted me to stay with him. I did. I could. I'm ashamed of that now.
Have you called California?
No.
I suppose we have enough problems for the next few days. But...
after?
Yes. We'll have to start thinking about Dad, about what we're going to do.
I don't know. Let's go home. Thanks for listening to all this, Alice. You had to pay good money to get someone to listen to you. I appreciate it. But I wanted to talk to you about Mother. All I've done is just talked about him. Just like all the others.
We'll talk. There'll be time.
Place up here.
Yes.
Your mother and I bought it soon after we were married. She thought it a strange thing to do, but we bought it. Now, let's see, that's...
Carol.
Who?
Carol, my wife.
Oh, yes, there. There's room for three more burials up here, as I remember. There, and there. I'm to go there when the time comes. This plot is in terrible shape. I paid $300 some years ago for perpetual care, and now look at it. Just disgraceful. I'm going to talk to that superintendent. I'm going to talk to that superintendent.
How you feel, but I'd like to figure out some kind of memorial for Mother. Use some of the money she left.
Yes, definitely.
Maybe some shelves of books for the children's library. Christmas books with stories she liked to tell.
That's a good idea.
Well, Jean, what are we going to do?
Mother always said, put her in an old people's home. She had one all picked out.
Sydney's mother and father saw it coming and arranged to be in one of those cottage colonies for old people.
Mother and Dad didn't.
I think you should go ahead and go and get married and move to California. But... might as well get this off my chest. It would be murder if he came to live with us. In the first place, he wouldn't do it feeling as he does about Sid. And the kids can't stand how he tells them how to do everything.
I think you're right. That would never work. I can't tell you what it does to me as a man to see someone like that. A man who's distinguished. Remarkable. Just become a nuisance.
I know I sound hard, but he's had his life. And as long as we can be assured that he's been taken care of, I'll feel some guilt, and you, maybe more, but my responsibility is to my husband and my children.
Yes, that's your responsibility.
And your responsibility is to yourself. To get married again, to get away from memories of Carol and to her whole world. If you called California, California?
No.
If I were the girl you were planning to marry and you didn't call me to tell me your mother had died...
I just haven't wanted to get into it all with her.
Jane. My friend. My brother. Get out of here.
Look, Alice. Your situation is quite different. Mine is very complex. You fortunately see things very clearly, but it's not so easy for me. We always remember the terrible things about Dad. I've been trying to remember some of the others. How much he did do for us.
Well, I'm doing a lot for my kids, and I don't expect them to pay me back at the other end. Sure, we could find a full-time housekeeper. He can afford it.
He'd never agree.
What's that or finding a home? Sydney's folks like where they are. Also, we might as well face it. His mind is going, and sooner or later we'll have to think about powers of attorney, perhaps committing him to an institution.
God, it's all so ugly.
Yes, my gentle Jean, a lot of life is.
Now look, don't go trying to make me out of some soft-hearted. I know life is ugly.
Yes. I think you know it. You've lived a great deal of ugliness, but you work like a Trojan to deny it, to make it not so. He kicked me out. He said he never wanted to see me again. He broke Mother's heart over that for years. He was mean, unloving. He beat the hell out of you when you were a kid. You've hated him and feared him all your adult life.
Still, he's my father and a man. And what's happening to him appalls me as a man.
We have a practical problem here.
It's not as simple as all that.
To me, it is. I don't understand this mystical haze you're casting over it. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow after the session with the lawyer about a housekeeper. Just let me handle it. He can visit us and we can take turns coming to visit him. Now I'll do the dirty work only when he turns to you. Don't give in.
I can't tell you how ashamed I feel. Not to say with open arms. Papa, come live with me. I love you. Papa. I want to take care of you. I need to love. I've always wanted to love.
How are you coming?
Oh, Alice, I've written out receipts for you to sign for the jewelry your mother left you, and if you'll sign for the things she left the children.
All right.
It may not be necessary, but as executor, I'll be held responsible for these things.
Dad, I'd like to talk a little with you about...
All right, but first, I'd like to read you this letter I've written to Harry Hall. He and I used to play golf out in New Jersey. He wrote a very nice letter to me about your mother. I've written him as follows. It'll only take a minute if I can read my own shorthand. Dear Harry, how thoughtful of you to write me on the occasion of Margaret's death. It was quite a blow. As you know, she was my inspiration and had been ever since that day 55 years ago when I met her, when the clouds hung low and dark for me. At that time, I was supporting my younger brother and my sister and my aged grandfather in a two-room flat, going to work every day in a lumber mill. Providence, which has always guided me, prompted me to take a night course in shorthand and typing, and prompted me to go to the Underwood Typewriting Company seeking a position as stenographer. They sent me, God be praised, to the office of T.J. Parks, and a job that started at $5 a week ended in 1930 when I retired at $50,000 a year. That's as far as I've gotten at the moment.
Dad, I don't think financial matters are particularly appropriate in answering a letter of condolence.
Oh, but it's true. You see, it follows. I'm saying she was my inspiration, and it seems entirely appropriate to explain that.
Well, it's your letter, Dad.
Well,
Dad, I'm leaving tomorrow, and I really...
What?
I'm going home tomorrow.
Well, Alice, I'm grateful you came. I know it was difficult for you, leaving home. Your mother would have appreciated it. She was very fond of you, Alice.
I think we ought to talk over maybe what your plans are.
My plans? Oh, I have many letters to answer and a whole mess of my files and accounts. If the income tax people ever ask me to produce my...
Not likely to, Dad. Your income's no longer of that size.
Don't you be too sure.
I didn't exactly mean that kind of plans. I meant, well, you haven't been well.
You said so.
Mother was worried to death about...
I was under a strain. Your mother's health, never knowing when it might happen, trying to get her to take care of herself, to take it easy. You know, the doctor said if she didn't eat more slowly, this might happen.
You plan to keep the house?
Yes. All my things are here. I'll be back on my feet and this will clear up. Now this strain is over. I'm confident I'll be in shape any day now.
I worry leaving you in this house all alone, Dad.
I'm perfectly all right. Now don't worry about me, either of you. Why, for the last year since your mother's first attack, I've been getting the breakfast, making the beds, using a dust rag. And the laundress comes once a week and cleans up for me and Jean here. Jean will keep an eye on me. Drop in once or twice a week.
That's the point.
Alice.
I think you should live. You should have a full-time housekeeper, Dad. To live here.
Alone? Here? With me? Oh, that wouldn't be very proper, would it?
Nevertheless.
No, that's fine.
Dad. Jean and I would feel a lot better about
you. Look, you don't have to worry about me.
Dad, you're forgetting things more and more.
Who said so?
Well, Mother wrote me.
I was under a strain. I just finished telling you. Look, Alice, you can go and you can leave with a clear mind. I'm all right. Of course, I will appreciate Jean's dropping in, but I'm all right.
We still would like to get a full-time housekeeper.
What do you mean you would get? I'm hired and fired thousands of people in my day. I don't need anyone getting someone for me.
Can you do it yourself then?
No, I told you, no. Since I was 8 years old, I'm taking care of myself. What do you two know about it? You were given everything on a platter. At an age when you two were swinging on that tree out there, I was breaking the branches and I was selling newspapers 5 hours a day. And then you're trying to tell me I can't take care of myself if I want a housekeeper, and I don't. I'll hire one. I've hired and fired thousands of people in my time. And you tell me I'm incompetent to hire a housekeeper? And how many people have you hired? You teach. Well, all right. That's your business, if that's what you want to do, but don't talk to me about hiring and firing.
Dad, you might fall down.
Why fall down? There's nothing wrong with my balance.
Sometimes when you get up, you're dizzy.
Nonsense! Nonsense. I appreciate your concern. But I'm perfectly able to carry on by myself. As I said, with Jean's help from time to time, I imagine we could have dinner every once in a while. We'll take you up the Rotary. Some of those speakers are very amusing.
Sure, Dad.
give us some time together, guys. Get to know each other.
Jean wants to get married.
Alice.
What?
Jean wants to move to California and get married.
Alice, shut up.
I can't help it. You've never faced up to him. You let him ruin your life.
I'm not going to ruin my life.
Children, I have no desire to interfere with either of your lives. I took care of myself at 8, and I can take care of myself at 80. I have never wanted to be a burden to my children.
I'm going to hang around, Dad.
There's no need to.
I'll move in here at least until you're feeling better.
I don't want you to ruin your life.
I didn't say that.
I have long gotten the impression that my only function in this family is to supply the money to...
Dad!
To supply the funds for
Dad,
your...
Dad, stop it!
As far as I'm concerned, this conversation is ended. Alice... We've gotten along very well for some years now without your attention.
Dad!
You sent me away. Don't you forget that.
You chose to lead your own life. Well, we won't keep you now.
Dad!
I was confident to go into the city year after year to earn money for your clothes and your food and the roof over your head, and I'm incompetent? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Thanks, Alice.
I'm only trying to get a practical problem accomplished.
You don't have to destroy him in the process.
I wasn't discussing his competence. Although that will be a matter of discussion soon.
Look, Alice, just leave it now. The way it is, don't say anymore.
With you staying on.
Yes, you can go with a clear conscience.
My conscience is clear.
I'm doing this because I want to.
You're doing it because you can't help yourself.
Look, when I want to be analyzed, I'll pay for it.
But I saw you. Didn't you see yourself there? When he started to rage, didn't you feel yourself pull in? You shrank.
I shrank at the ugliness of what was happening.
You're staying because you can't stand his wrath. The day you say, Dad, I'm leaving. You've never been able to stand up to his anger. He's cowed you.
Look, Alice.
He'll call you ungrateful, and you'll believe him. He'll lash out at you with his sarcasm, and that will kill this lovely, necessary image you have of yourself as the good son. You see that?
What do you want us to do? Shall we get out a white paper? Let it be known that we, Alice and Jean, have done everything that we can do to make this old man happy in his old age, without inconveniencing ourselves, of course. And he has refused our help, so if he falls and hits his head there and lies until he rots, it's not our fault. Is that it?
You insist.
You haven't learned that people on the couch do not always do what you want them to do. It's sometimes that we need to make the adjustments.
The difference between us is that I accept the inevitable sadness of this world without an acute sense of personal guilt. You don't. I don't think anyone expects either of us to ruin our lives for an unreasonable old man.
It's not going to ruin my life.
It is!
A few weeks, a month.
Forever!
Look, Alice. Let's not go on discussing it. I know what I'm gonna do. Maybe I can't explain my reasons to you. I just know I can't do anything else. Maybe there isn't the same thing between a mother and a daughter. But the old man in me feels something very deep. He wants to extend some kind of mercy to the old man. And I never had a father. I ran away from him. He ran away from me. Maybe he's right. Maybe it's time we finally found each other.
I find that sentimental crap. I think this is all a rationalization to make tolerable a compulsion you have to stay here. You hate hate the compulsion, so you dressed it up to look nice.
How do you know what you're saying isn't a rationalization to cover up a callousness, a selfishness, a coldness in yourself? To make it smell nice?
What do you think you'll find?
I don't know.
You hope to find love. Couldn't you tell from what he just said what you were going to find? Don't you understand he's got to hate you? He may not think it in his head or feel it in his heart, but you're his enemy. From the moment you were born a boy, you were a threat to this man and his enemy.
That sounds like the textbooks, Alice.
He wants you by your balls and he's had them. I want to shock you. When has he ever regarded you as a man, an equal, a male? When you were a Marine, and that you did for him. Because even back there, you were looking for his love. You didn't want to be a Marine. Now, Papa, will you love me? And he did. No, not love, but he was proud and grateful because you gave him an extension of himself he could boast about with his phony set of values. When was he ever proud about the thing you do? The things you value? When did he ever mention your teaching or your books except in scorn?
You don't seem to have felt the absence of a father. But I feel deprived, incomplete. I just don't want my father to die a stranger to me.
You're looking at something that isn't there, Gene. You're looking for a mother's love in a father. Mothers are soft and yielding. Fathers are hard and rough, and to teach us the way of the world, which is rough, which is mean, which is selfish and prejudiced.
All right, that's your definition. And because of what he did to you, you're entitled to
it. I've always been grateful to him for what he did. He taught me a marvelous lesson and has made me able to face a lot, and there has been a lot to face, and I'm grateful to hell to him. Because if I couldn't get the understanding and compassion from a father, who could I expect it from in the world? Who in the world if not from a father? And so I learned, and I didn't expect it, and I found very little, and so I'm grateful to him. I'm grateful to hell to him.
I'll stay, Alice. For a while, at least. For whatever reasons, let's just not argue anymore.
And Peggy?
She'll be coming in a week or two. We'll see.
Don't lose her, Jean. Maybe I'm still fouled up on myself, but I think I've spoken near the truth about you.
I keep wondering why I haven't called her. I wanted to call her. Why I seem so much closer to Keller. Why I seem so much closer to Carol at the moment.
The image of the eternally bereaved husband. Forgive me, the dutiful son. They're very appealing and seductive, but they're not living. I miss Mother so.
Yes.
Thank you.
You ready to be tucked in?
Yes. Look at the weight I've lost.
Since when?
I don't know.
Well, you've had quite a little pot there, Dad.
Did I?
Yeah.
But look, all through here, through my chest,
Well, we'll put some back on you. You've been eating pretty well this last week.
You know, I never had hair on my chest, but I don't understand it. You have hair on your chest. I just didn't have it. I'm confident if I could get some exercise. Do you remember when I used to get up with you in the morning and we'd go down and do calisthenics for the radio?
Yes.
You remember this? To the best dad in the world on Father's Day. I was in 1946. Yes, I appreciate that, Gene. That's a lovely tribute. I think I have all your Father's Day cards here. You know, your mother used to talk of you children as her jewels, and maybe because my interests were different, I've always said you were my dividends. I didn't want children, coming from the background I did. And we didn't have Alice for a long time. But your mother finally persuaded me. She said, they would be a comfort in your old age. You are, Gene, you are.
Dad.
I didn't think it would be this way. I always thought I'd go first. I'm sorry. It just comes over me. It'll pass. I'll get a hold of myself.
Dad.
Yes?
You remember I wrote you about California and Peggy?
What?
The girl in California.
Oh, yes.
I'm thinking very seriously, Dad, of going out there to marry and to live. Now, I know this is your home where you're used to, but I'd like you to come out there with me, Dad. It's lovely out there. As you said, we could find an apartment for you near us.
You know, I'd like to make a suggestion. Why don't you all come live here?
Peggy has a practice.
Oh, for what?
She's a doctor. And I told you, and children with schools and friends.
We have a big house here. You always liked this house. It's wonderful for children. You used to play basketball and baseball out back and all that.
Dad, I'd like to get away from this part of the country for a while. Been rough ever since Carol died. It'd be good for you too, getting away.
Your mother would be very happy to have the house full of children again. I won't be around long, and then it would be all yours.
It's very kind of you, Dad, but I don't think that would work. Besides her work and the children, all Peggy's family's out there.
Yep. But your family's here.
Yes, I know.
Just me, of course.
You see, the children's father's out there. And they're quite fond of him. And I see him a lot.
Divorced?
Yes.
Well, you know, Gene, I'm only saying this for your own good, but you went out there very soon after Carol's death, and you were exhausted from her long illness, and, well, naturally, very susceptible. I was wondering if you really waited long enough, you know, to know your own mind.
I know my own mind.
I mean, taking on another man's children. Children are far from the blessing they're supposed to be. And then there's the whole matter of discipline, of keeping them in line. You may rule them with a rod of iron, but if this father...
I happen to love Peggy.
Did you mention this business of California to your mother?
She mentioned it to me. Told me to go ahead with her blessings.
She would say that, of course, but I warned you.
For God's sake!
All right, go ahead. I can manage. Send me a Christmas card if you remember.
Dad.
What?
I've asked you to come with
me. And I told you I'm not going.
I understand this, but not to send me a Christmas card if you remember.
I'm very sorry if I offended you. Your mother always said I mustn't raise my voice to you. Did you want me to make it easy for you the way your mother did? Well, I won't. If you want to go, go.
God damn it!
I've always known it would come to this when your mother was gone. I was tolerated around this house because I just paid the bills.
Shut up!
Don't you
shut up! I've asked you to come with me. What do you want? What the hell do you want? If I lived here the rest of my life, it wouldn't be enough for you. I've tried, goddammit. I've tried to be the dutiful son. To maintain the image of the good son. Commanded in your every presence on every conceivable occasion. Easter, Christmas, birthdays, Thanksgiving. Even Thanksgiving when Carol was dying. And I was staying at the hospital. We miss you so. Our day is nothing without you. Couldn't you come up for an hour or two after you leave Carol? You had no regard for what was really going on. My wife was dying!
Is it so terrible to want to see your own son?
It is terrible to want to possess him entirely and completely.
There will be some papers to sign for your mother's estate. I'm sure you leave an address with my lawyer.
Dad!
From tonight on, you can consider me dead. I gave you everything. Since I was a snot-nosed kid, I worked my fingers to the bone. You had everything and I had nothing. I put a roof over your head and clothes on your back.
Food on the
things I never had.
I know!
You ungrateful bastard.
What do you want for gratitude? Nothing. Nothing would be enough. You've resented everything you've ever given me. The orphan boy has resented everything. I'm sorry to hell about your miserable childhood. When I was a kid, you told me those stories. I'd go up to my room at night and cry. But there's nothing I can do about it. It does not excuse everything. I am grateful to you. I also admire and respect you. And stand in awe of what you've done with your life. I'll never be able to touch it. It does not make me love you. I've wanted to love you. I hated your father. I saw what he did to you. I did not want to hate you.
I don't care what you feel about me.
I do. I came so close to loving you tonight. I never felt so open to you. You don't know what it cost me to ask you to come with me. What have I never been able to sit in a room with you, alone?
It was not my fault you never came in.
Goodbye, Dad. I'll arrange for someone to come in.
I don't want anyone to come in! I can take care of myself. I've always had to take care of myself. Who needs you? Out! I've lived each day of my life so that I could look any man in the eye and tell him to go to hell!
That night I left my father's house forever. I took the first left, and then the second right, and went as far as California. Peggy and I visited him once or twice. And then he came to California to visit us. And had a fever and swollen ankles. We had to put him in a hospital, and he never left. The reason we gave, which he could accept. But the real reason? The arteries were hardening. And gradually, over several years, slipped into complete and speechless senility. With all his life centered around his burning eyes. And I would visit him. We'd sit and look at each other. His eyes would mist over. His nostrils would pinch with emotion. never learned what that emotion was. Anger, love, or regret. One day, sitting in his wheelchair, staring without comprehension at television, he died. Alone. Without even an orange in his hand. Death ends a life, but it does not end a relationship. It struggles on in the spider's mind. It torments some resolution, which it never finds. Allison, I said, I would not accept the sadness of the world. What did it matter if I never loved him? Or if he never loved me? Perhaps she's right. Still, when I hear the word father, it counts.
Thank you.